Well, if that's where they're going to cut it, we're going to cut it too and get into the bird songs of the Mesozoic with David Greenberger reading from the Duplex Planet Monologues.
Snakes are one of the finest things in the world, but they're one of the finest things to leave alone. Don't bother them, and they won't bother you. I know a snake is very helpful in some instances and very destructive in others. And now I suppose you're going to say, such as, or what is one and what is the other? Well, there's many different types. G-R-O-U-N-D, ground snakes. And tree snakes, they go up trees. They'll go up some of the tallest trees we've got. Poplar trees. We've got plenty of them. We got them up north, and we got them down south. They're about as big around as our body, but they run 40, 50 feet up in the air. 68 to 70 feet is the tallest poplar tree. A poplar tree is big around as our body, but all the way up. 66, 70 feet, that's the tallest. There may be some a little taller, but not much. 72, 74 feet. Yeah, a tree snake can circle a poplar tree. They'll go around it just like they can go around your... bother them, and they won't bother you. So you can talk to a snake, and a snake will nod to you yes or no, if you ask them a single question that's a human question. They not
and 6 foot. Many women aren't as tall as the men. Very near, within a foot. There's many different kinds of snakes. There's grass snakes and tree snakes. If it's a tree, they wind around a poplar tree just like its body. Ridge snakes, they're more like the size of your arm or your leg. It's a southern snake, a coral snake down around the Bahamas, Bermuda. Your wrist to your elbow, from your elbow to your shoulder. Their head is like the size of your fist, and it runs from there to your shoulder and the length of your body. But some of them will run about 18. They look at you and nod at you, and if you speak to a snake will speak to you. See, your cobra is as big as your left hand or your right hand, and from there it's as big as your arm, the muscles, and the muscles of your upper arm, and they may be 4 to 6 feet long. There's different lengths of snakes, there's different types of snakes. How many? God only knows. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows, and if you saw him, he could tell you. But it's very rare that you see our Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very rare. It's also very rare that you see a snake.
You know, I played that tune hoping in the back of my mind that Greenberger had recycled that old Snakes monologue that came out on the first Duplex Planet double CD. It might have even been just a single CD, whatever. It was two discs worth of fun. And he certainly has. This, you know, Greenberger is really finding some fantastic people to collaborate with. I thought that Three-Legged Torso EP was fantastic. Then the full length, and now we got David Greenberger with Bird Songs of the Mesozoic. Highly recommend you folks to check out the Duplex Planet more than you already are. If you already know about them, like you should. And I do believe for locale listeners in some ways, that his recent project, which he's waiting to publish, it's a disc of recordings as well, took place all around nursing homes around East L.A., and it's called Growing Old in East L.A., and it's actually gone over budget a bit. I think the NPR people somehow got him a couple of clams. In any case, he does need you to buy his merchandise, and I would certainly like to push it upon you. Probably hear another track from there, since that was just the first taste. Bird Songs sounding really good. So let's get into some Boris Surge and this particular recording with cellist, trombonist Gunnar Christman. Well, that was a nice thing to hear. I know that. But one thing that's a little bit too bad is the CD that I had queued up, it was ready to go. And then after, you know, sitting there for a while, raring to go, it said no disc. You may have even noticed while that, David Greenberg or Bird Songs of the Mesozoic thing was on, there was a little of fiddling, some weird stereo action. It turns out I had to play with some of these cables, and I think we're actually going to be able to get both channels out of that CD player now. All right, so in any case, let's get back in to the grease pot, Nielsen, garbage can, skidoo.
Living in a garbage can can be a lot of fun. It has ups, do-do-do-do, and downs. Or paper cups and coffee grounds. La-la, living in a garbage can be a lot of fun. Especially if you meet the perfect onion. Or the great garbage can is just full of good stuff. All the discarded refuse of man. Like the half-used banana, whose girlfriend is Anna, who shout, let us out of this can. Wow, wow, oh, said the poor Brussels sprout, dibbity pie. If only me and the banana could get out, we'd find an asparagus who'd stand up and marry us. But the first thing to do is get out. Wow, 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 wow. Now an old piece of ham is in love with some lamb, but a young head of lettuce is too. Now send the ham to the lettuce, the lamb will forget us as soon as he learns I love you. Oh, 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 the great garbage can, dibbity-bye. It's a tribute to the ingenuity of man. Where corn and tomatoes are mixed with potatoes and thrown in together with ham. Where a Brussels sprout and a sauerkraut can get together and have it out, and no one seems to care about the plan. And a succotash and a piece of hash can get together and have a bash, for life is always equal in the can.
Sacrifice in the USA. Tonight we're going to talk about humans. Oh yes, you know that phenomenon of the missing child in America? The horror of every parent. Just the thought of a little Billy or Susie running to the store for a half gallon of milk and not coming home forever. Yeah. Never talk to strangers or get into a stranger's car, Ma and Pa say to their offspring. And that's true. Some are kidnapped and escaped. Some are kidnapped and raped, even killed. Their bodies left to rot in the forest or desert. Yet many are just never found, never heard from again. It's so easy to blame a, you know, satanic cult or a Manson-esque freak group or a crazed pervert. You know, of course, these are the ones that are stereotype villains, you know, who do such god-awful things to young children. But what of other members of Western society, you know, whether individuals or groups? What about corporate executives or military officers, doctors, lawyers, politicians, and small business owners? Are they immune from such acts of kidnapping and all the possibilities that surround the fate of a stolen child? No, they're not. And if you don't believe me, just listen and I'll welcome you to the 20th century, a century in which human nature has not really changed all that much. You've really paid much attention at all in the terms of not necessarily the betterment of mankind, but just in any real change in mankind. The characteristics are the same. The situations, things are very similar to the way they always have been on the face of planet Earth. In the new age, things are not so new, are they? Well, how old are you? I don't know it, and I don't care. Now, this is a century, you know, that is fundamentally the same as all previous to it in terms of emotion, customs, tradition, and beliefs. If you can't agree with this, then don't listen to me any further, because I'll only murder your tender little ignorant heart with a dab of my breath. You know, human sacrifice to many human beings living right now is an acceptable practice to appease a god or goddess, probably the most potent appeasement available. You know, a sacrifice historically is performed for many reasons, to yield a good crop in the coming years, to obtain wealth or power, to offer thanks to the gods, to appease demons who are feared, among other common and more esoteric motives. Sure, offerings of food, incense, or even the killing of small, lesser animals are quite common and accepted even by Western society, but the idea of killing a human being to satisfy a deity or a host of deities is but a barbaric act of the past or a current atrocity committed only by weirdo fringe cults or groups who pop up now and again in sensationalized news headlines. What I'm saying is that I don't consider it ridiculous to assume that prominent members of American society, even household names, are presently and have been involved in sacrificing human beings. I'm quite convinced that it goes on regularly and has been since the founding of this great nation. I can't point fingers, and I'm not going to point fingers at anyone, because I'm not on the trail of such occurrences. That's not my business. However, secret societies have existed in high power positions since the beginning of time, and perhaps some of the most successful black magicians in terms of achieving wealth, power, and fame, not to mention what they're in for karma-wise in the future, but are residing, as I speak, living right now in the good old U.S. of A. Why not? Can't happen. We're in a civilized nation. That's right, baby. Human sacrifice and black magic are one big giant fact of civilized nations. Or have you been spending all your time drinking out of the tap instead of tapping into the well, or at least tap dancing your way across the graves of those who have spent their lives trying to keep you ignorant? What is war anyway but human sacrifice? For a greater cause. Nobody understands it, so they condone it. In the name of freedom, the great god freedom. That's a deity to be appeased, is it not? Now, I wouldn't be surprised if insurance salesmen got together with their lobbyist pals and a few senators in some secret organization called Get Rich Quick and burned some kid alive, you know, some male child in a pseudo-Masonic or extra-paganistic ritualistic manner, all in the name of high profits for the next fiscal year. Filmmakers, entertainers, artists, who knows? Just keep saying no to any idea you never heard before and let little Billy walk the street at night up to the corner market for a loaf of bread. You know, it's all big business anyway. Supply and demand, buy and sell, you gotta take chances to get to the top. But once you get up there, it's time to fend off the upstarts. Maybe all this is just my own exercise and, you know, imagination. But maybe little Billy will be eaten by the next man you vote for at the polls. He might even use chopsticks.
Oh,
Announcement for those members of the Unwrinkled community that might be happen to be living in Los Angeles. Not only is Boris Balchin and Serge Bagdasarian is going to be playing this Saturday night at Il Corral over at Heliotrope and Melrose. Also got a really nice show Monday night at Mountain Bar, even though no time listed. Seems really sketchy in my book, considering that when you open up the Mountain Bar's online calendar, it only has 1 month, and that's January of 2006, and they only have two things listed. Those are the kind of things I think about during the day when I'm typing plus and minus signs into my nose. But that show, we got Australian guitarist, electronics fella all around. You know, this guy's been playing for a good 10 years doing sick boy jokes, or an embarché. Apparently, he's been asked to join Sun O, a band with a lot of parentheses going one way in their name, and they're touring around. He's playing. Also with this guy, John Weiss, who I've never heard, read a couple of things about, seen his name a couple of times, happened to get one of those old Banana Fish comps in the mail a couple days ago, and it's got an interview with him and a track on a CD, and let's just spot that up. But first, just to get our tastes back to Saturday, because that happens first in terms of spear chucking. That happens first in terms of distance of the spear chuck from now. So we're going to check out Boris Balchin with John Butcher on saxophones, Gunnar Christman again on cello and trombone, and French drummer Michael Grenier, Michel Grenier. You know what? I don't know where he's from. It was the R-I-E thing that made me think he was French. Anyway, Boris is playing sampler and electronics on this disc. This is Vario 41, recorded March 12, 2004, by Boris. Thank you.